California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
What's cracking? We're into hour number two. Welcome back. Good morning. Good afternoon. Wherever you are, I am Jim Rome. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so I mentioned at the very top, today was going to be a really good day. A really good day because we would get to do some things that we had not done in quite some time and some things that we had never done before. In fact, like this, one of those things that we had not done in quite some time was have a conversation with Tyrann Mathieu, safety for the Saints. We just did that. It was great. Right now, we get to do something we have not done before. We are joined by the head football coach at the Ohio State University. He is entering his fourth full season as head coach, led Ohio State to a pair of Big Ten titles and a couple of playoff appearances, 34-4 overall, 23-1 against the Big Ten, 13-4 against top 25 teams, and Ohio State's going to open up against Notre Dame. Big game to start the year on September 2nd. We are joined by the head football coach there, Ryan Day. Ryan, it is great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks.
Good to have you. So you're killing it in recruiting. Let me start right there. In fact, before we talk about that, let me go back to the draft. You had two more guys selected in the top 11 picks. You had six players taken overall. You had five more getting shots with teams after the draft. I'm curious, what's it mean to you on a personal level when you get to see so many guys get a chance to live out that NFL dream?
Well, it's fulfilling to be with the recruits from really – now we start them almost their sophomore year, you know, and we're recruiting guys who are 15 years old. I said, we start getting to 14-year-olds, I'm out, you know. But we're recruiting them at a young age. And then to see them go through the process of their high school career and then, you know, really selling them on the idea that they're going to develop at Ohio State on the field, off the field, across the board, and then see them have an opportunity to have a really good career at Ohio State, but then go on to chase their dreams of playing in the NFL. That's the most rewarding thing we do as coaches.
We're talking to Ryan Day. So in terms of that, Ryan, I had Chris Olave on the show before the draft, and he was telling the story of how he met you when you were at his high school to see a different recruit. I mean, it's not a totally uncommon thing, but what do you remember seeing, or what do you remember about seeing Olave for the first time? And then what did you see that let you know that he might be special?
You know, it's just like anything else in life. When you ask a lot of people, and you have so many people coming up to you and explaining to you that you know, this is a special young man. He didn't play his junior year, so he didn't have any film out there. But so many people were just ranting and raving about who he was as a person, his athletic ability, and even the quarterback that we were recruiting at the time, Jack Tuttle, was just really selling him hard. And then had an opportunity to watch him do a few things. And then his first few games, we went out to watch him play live. And you could just see a multiple sport athlete, somebody who was just dynamic in space, really strong. You know, he's not very big, but was strong with his hands and strong with his play. And then just his work ethic and his total makeup, you could tell he was going to be a very good player.
Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day is joining us. So when you look to the upcoming season, you've got C.J. Stroud, who was top five in the country in passing yards and TDs. He threw for nearly 600 yards in the Rose Bowl, and all of that was in his first year as a starter. When you look back on last season, what sticks out to you the most about the way he showed up?
Yeah, boy, it was almost like, you know, when you look at the beginning of the year, he had not thrown one college football pass before. And we started off with the game on the road at Minnesota. And there were times during that game where it was a little dicey. And then we came back and played Oregon at home and lost the game. But, you know, he showed things in that game that were exciting for his future. And certainly, you know, the reason we lost that game was not because of C.J. Stroud. But you know, he had to take on some tough situations based on how that game played out. And then as time went on, you know, he just grew. His confidence grew. And he built to the point where he was playing some of his best football at the end of the season. And the way he played in that Rose Bowl, we talked about going into that game. That was an idea, you know, really the idea of that was to build momentum going into the offseason. I think we did that. And I think, you know, he's got a lot of confidence going into the season.
We're talking to Ryan Day. I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to say, there's already talk about him being the first pick in next year's draft. I'm curious, what's your reaction when you hear that? And then what kind of expectations do you have for him in his second year as starter?
Well, I think that there's you know, a lot of people who, you know, they put out different things and they make their projections, and that's all part of their job. And I think, you know, we all have to understand that, and certainly CJ has to understand that. But the whole focus for him has got to be on his development. And none of that stuff matters if he doesn't continue to develop. You know, where he was at this point last year and where he is right now are two different places, but it's only been a year. And so the idea for him is to have a great season, but the goal for him in the long term is to have a great career in the NFL. So the focus has to be on development. It can't be just about trying to get to the NFL. That opportunity is going to come for him. So every day he's just got to maximize each day and try to make it great and continue to focus on that development.
Talking to Ryan Day. So, Ryan, as many people know, you played quarterback at UNH under Chip Kelly. But listen, there are plenty of guys who played the position but can't necessarily coach the position or not at a very high level. You seem to have a really, really strong connection with quarterbacks, both in the way you recruit them and in player development, something you've mentioned several times this morning. In your mind, what does it take to be a great quarterback? Like, what are the qualities that you're looking for?
Well, when you don't have a lot of athletic ability or blessed with great speed or arm strength or anything like that, you kind of have to figure out a way to, find different angles to be successful. So, I think that's what makes really good quarterbacks is all of those type of things. You know, God gave us a certain level of talent, and we have to acquire skill and discipline in our lives. And so, you know, how quickly can we take the talent that God's given us, max it, mix it up with great skill, which is the ability to play the position, you know, how you throw the ball, your footwork, all the things that come with the technical and fundamental part of it, but also the discipline of studying film, of understanding how teams are trying to attack you, of making sure you stay humble when things are going well, not panicking when something doesn't go your way. The discipline of making sure you're going to bed early at night and taking care of your body. I mean, all those things come into play here. And I think it does certainly help when you play the position and when you're calling plays and when you're meeting with the quarterbacks, you know, you feel like when you're calling the plays, you're talking to the quarterback. And it's a very quarterback-friendly offense, and that probably plays into it a little bit.
Ohio State head football coach Ryan Day joining me for a few more moments. Ryan, I'm picking my spots carefully. There's so many things I want to talk to you about. But, like, you're recruiting so well and it's such a high level. I'm curious, when you're recruiting elite talent, and then that talent sees the depth chart full of future NFL players, and they know you're not going to stop recruiting elite talent at that position, how do the recruits typically respond, and what is your message to them in that regard?
Well, first off, if you want to be great, you have to put yourself in a situation to be challenged and embrace productive discomfort every day. And, you know, if you can make it Ohio State, you can make it anywhere. And so if your goal is to play in the NFL, you're going to have a locker room that's going to be very, very talented. And so every day you're going to be lining up and you're going to be competing not only in your room but across the ball from somebody who also has the same goal in mind. And if you're very, very competitive and that's what you want, this is the environment for you. That combined with, you know, a culture and environment here where we take really good care of our players. And, it's not just what you can do on the field. There's more to it than that. It truly is a family environment. You can't just say that. It has to really be that way. And we take a lot of pride in that here. But it's also extremely competitive. And for those who understand that, they jump in. And, you know, for other guys, there's other places for them, and we understand that. But we want to have guys in the program that are highly, highly competitive and have a high focus on, you know, the family atmosphere.
What an amazing line you just had, that you want guys who embrace productive discomfort every single day. I love that. Ryan Day is joining us. Ryan, I want to ask you about something very sad, but I want to ask you about one of your former players, Dwayne Haskins, who tragically died last month. When you think of Dwayne, what are your first thoughts and memories that come to mind, if I could ask?
Yeah, no, very, very sad situation, very confusing situation, really a tragedy. But you know, I think of, first off, here at Ohio State, when I came in, he was really the one that kind of kick-started the quarterback kind of wide receiver passing game that we've, been fortunate to be around here over the last, 5 to 6 years. And he brought a lot to that. And I think, that 2018 season was a great season for Ohio State, but just a special season for him. Most importantly, I just remember somebody with an unbelievable smile who always took time, especially with younger kids. I just remember having my kids here, and he would spend 45 minutes playing catch, and there's a lot of stories of like that, of those type of things. He always wanted to make sure that others were okay, and I think that was one of the things he left a legacy behind here at Ohio State.
Ryan Day, my guest. Ryan, one last thought about something that you've done, you and your wife, Christina, off the field. Nearly three years ago, you both created the Christina and Ryan Day Fund for Pediatric and Adolescent Mental Wellness. I know that this is a cause that is very, very close to both your hearts, and you're looking to destigmatize the issues around mental health. What would you say to somebody listening right now who maybe is having a hard time and having a hard time asking for help?
I think that there's a lot of stigmas attached to this area, and there's many different layers, and just like physical health, there's different afflictions and there's different levels of good health and bad health. But the stigma that we're trying to break the most is that talking about these types of things, having a conversation and saying that, I have thought about these different things, or I am struggling in these areas. I think a lot of people have a preconceived notion that talking about these things is a trigger, or they're afraid to talk about. But they're actually really healthy, and the studies show that it's a good thing to do. And being able to show your emotions and share your emotions brings strength. And, as we work through difficult times, we build more strength just like we do with our bodies. And there's physical health and mental health. And the thing I try to use with my players all the time is, if you have a sprained ankle, you know what the protocol is. You go get treatment, you tape up your ankle, and you get better. If you don't, you're going to have a lot more problems down the road. It's very similar with mental health, and it's not as easy, but it's something that we try to talk about here.
What a great point. So quick follow. The thing is, though, we don't always know the protocol, right? You may know the protocol for a sprained ankle, but we don't really know necessarily the protocol for mental health. So what do? You just ask for help?
Well, you have to, first off, surround yourself with people who care about you. You have to have the resources, and sometimes you need professionals that you can talk to. And again, not all of us have those resources, but many of us can, where you find a psychologist or someone that you can turn to ask for help. But we also need to make sure that, we surround ourselves with people that we can be honest with, to have conversations and to be truth tellers in our life, so that if they see something in us, they can get us help. But typically we have to go to the professionals and make sure we're using those resources.
And what a great conversation right there. He is the head football coach at The Ohio State University. I ran down all the numbers, 34-4 overall, 23-1 against the Big Ten. Season opener is Notre Dame, September 2nd. Ryan Day making his first appearance on the program. Ryan, I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate that conversation. I appreciate you making time for it. That was great. Thanks so much.
Jim, much respect. Anytime.
Much respect, coach. Hope we can do it again soon. That was great. I am really pleased with that. As mentioned, we were going to do some things today that we had not done for a while, and we were going to do some things today that we had never done, and did both those things back to back. Tyrann Mathieu back in the jungle for the first time in a long time. That felt great. Ryan Day in the jungle for the first time ever. That felt great. So clones, don't you run up in here and bleep it all up. I'm having a really good day. Two exceptional interviews and a couple of my really good thoughts. But you are encouraged to try. Coming up at the end of hour number three, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, somebody who has been on the program before. He gets a new opportunity. Tyreek Hill went to Miami, and I do want to talk about the Dolphins social media team not doing their quarterback any favors. And it also involves Tyreek Hill. It's not his fault he's fast as hell. It's not to his fault necessarily that he does not have an arm that is strong as hell. But it is the social media's fault that they couldn't wait to push that video out there and then run it in super slow-mo. So Twitter does what Twitter does. Overreact. I'll get to that. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, though, it's not until 11:40, so we're wide open between now and then. And again, my thanks to Ryan Day. That was great. That was a really good conversation. All right, so we are open right now until 11:40 Pacific time. That means wide ass open. Come on up in here. Today would be a great day to get a golden ticket. So really quickly, the smack off is June 24th. It's smack off number 28. The winner gets $5,000. Invite only. So how do you get an invite? If you've won the event, like Rick in Seattle said, if you've won the SmackDown, you're already invited.
Previous winners can call on June 24th.
He's right. Previous winners of the SmackDown can call on June 24th. Just as long as they don't call it the SmackDown. But then again, if they've won the SmackDown, they know it's not the SmackDown. Point of the matter is, if you've won it, you have a lifetime exemption. You could go 5 months, 5 years. You can go 20 years without calling the program, and you are still invited on that day. You have a lifetime exemption. Otherwise, you need an actual invite. Those who have their invites already know. So what if you don't have an invite? You can still get one in the form of a golden ticket. What do you have to do? It's kind of hard for me to explain what you have to do. Just something significant, something different, something dramatic. Not something reckless or just throw a bunch of crap up against the wall and see what sticks. Although that might work for you. But I'll know it when I hear it. It's just hard for me to describe what it is. But you can get a golden ticket on the strength of maybe, it's like, say you're somebody who's new to it, or say you're somebody who's listened for a long time but never actually done it and thought, you know what, I want to do this. I'm ready. It'll be fun. Or I want the $5,000. Or I want to measure myself. So you make a phone call, a second phone call, three good phone calls in a row, and all of a sudden you're that team that got in. Like you won the play-in game. Or you won the play-in games, and you got in and got hot at the right time. Or maybe, and this has happened a couple of times, you literally catch lightning in a bottle. You do something miraculous. You're different than any other first-time caller ever. And I say, that guy. Just put him in. That has happened too. So, in order for any of these things to happen, you do have to call 1-800-636-8686. All right, so let me get your reaction. Like, example. I'll give you an example. When I say you have to do something really different, either you are just inherently really different, like you have a point of view that's really different, or a voice that's really different, or you pretend to be a dog. That's really different. Paul's dog got in. Not only got in, but is going to have a look at this thing, I've got a feeling. Chicken Man. At Mick Chicken Man. Rome, Ryan Day is, wait for it, is a day and night better person than Pervin Liar will ever be. And this is coming from a Wisco fan. Go Big Ten. Pretty much everybody is.
That's devastating.
But especially Ryan Day. I mean, you hear that guy. You listen to Ryan Day, and what you hear is a guy with incredible football acumen, but not somebody who comes on a program and just spits football cliches or gives you a bunch of coach speak. You can tell how thoughtful he is. And a number of things really resonated with me. He is recruiting at an unbelievably high clip, an unbelievably high rate. And to my point, the question I said, well, what do you tell recruits who know that you're going to continue to recruit at a very high rate and elite talent at a position where you're trying to bring them in? And his point was they know. They know. But if you want to be great, that's what you need to do. You need to put yourself in productive, discomfortable positions or uncomfortable positions every day. Damn, Jim. Another classic. Ryan Bleeping Day. Ha 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 ha. And this is coming from a Michigan fan. Pretty amazing that this guy comes on and two of the first bits of reaction are from a Wisconsin fan and a Michigan fan. I think part of that is respect. And part of that is how much people hate Herb. And are glad to see a guy doing it the right way. Like winning big, but doing it the right way. And then there's this guy. Jim loved the Tyron interview. He is spot on. If you get off the path, you can get back on. In fact, we were all young. Heartache to heartache we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a honey badger field. Signed, Pat Benatar.
Love is a
Mustafa in Philly. Mustafa, I know you're coming from a place of respect. Because there's no way you would come on this show and disrespect Pat Benatar, who you know I love.
Honey, Badger.
Come on, man. Mustafa. He's like, in fact, we were all young. Heartache to heartache we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a honey badger feel.
Honey badger.
Signed, Pop Benatar. God, what a legendary voice. What a legendary rocker. Pop Benatar was so badass. Mustafa, you know it. You know it. I can't lie. I love female rockers. Badass. She was badass. Chrissy Hynde, badass. Trevor Spleen tweets, that was about as good of a conversation as I've heard in quite some time. The Honey Badger has kicked my team's ass up and down the field for years, and I did not like you. Come to find out, you're one of the best dudes ever. Keep it up. Now, the Honey Badger is one of the best dudes ever. Honey, he's one of the best Badger. Players ever, and he's one of the best dudes ever. He's beloved and respected universally. He's incredible. This is why I was so hyped to talk to him again and why I was frustrated that I lost track of him. But it happens. No, he's incredible. An incredible player, an incredible teammate, an incredible guy who went through a lot. And I thought that story he said, when he said that when he ran into trouble when he was at LSU and that half the team showed up at his doorstep, it was at that point in time that he realized how much he means to everybody, how much they care about him, that he had to make changes. He had to do better. That was an amazing story. Jerome. Matthew said, surround yourself with good people. So why are you surrounded by James Burp Fart Kelly? Yeah. Sign America.
I apologize.
Sign V in the fee. All right, so it's a fair question. Like, even James Kelly himself, when he and I have interactions, he often will say, fair. That's fair. Fair. So, let me turn that around on you, Head. He just said it. Jerome. Matthew said, surround yourself with good people. So why are you surrounded by James Burp Far Kelly? Sign America. Fair. Fair. The thing is, and normally I hate this phrase, and this is why you've never heard me use this phrase, but I think it does apply here. V. Burp fart is good people. In fact, he's great people. And he's a gambling savant. He's just functionally illiterate. He cannot speak English, and he's got the sense of humor of an 8-year-old.
Kicking a stick.
And a head that's big enough that they could walk him through the Macy's Day Parade. But he's, quote, good people. And even he himself just said, I can't argue any of that. Not if you want to be right, you can't. Hey, Jim, I know it's been a while since I checked in with you. I have moved from Orange County Parks Department over to Highways. I am sure you heard the announcement from the end of the Celtics versus Bucks game. Regards, former XR4TI member, Highway Robert Dasmati.
Highway Roberty!
Let me try that again. Hey, Jim.
Highway Roberty!
Hold on, Alvy. Hey, Jim, I know it's been a while since I checked in with you. I have moved from Orange County Parks Department over to Highways. I'm sure that you heard the announcement from the end of the Celtics v. Bucks game. Regards, former XR4TI member, Highway Robert Dasmati.
Highway Roberty!
Jake in NYC. Great job. Well done, Jake. Really well done. Highway Robert Dasmati.
Highway Roberty!
Was the rare guy that got a job in this business, which is a dream for most. Like, they pay us to talk sports, they pay us to talk junk, they pay us to find interviews with athletes and coaches. I mean, it's a dream job, right? Like, imagine working for the city. I'll give you an example. I'm going to be very careful how I do this. Because there is nobility in all work, right? And who am I to say? I know how lucky I've got it. I've spent the last 30 years talking crap and interviewing athletes and apparently making a pretty good living doing it, right? It's popping Twitter. So anyway, I'm going to jury duty the other day. And I'm seeing all these zombies walking in ahead of us. You know, working at the courthouse. I'm sorry, but they didn't seem very happy. So I had to report at 7:45. They had the two lines. The line of prospective jurors going in at 7:45. And then you had everybody else who worked in the courthouse going in ahead of time. And I'm not saying that they were all miserable. I'm saying that some of them looked like they were sleepwalking through life. Some of them looked like they were zombies. Some of them were getting to work 10 seconds before their shift started. So imagine Robert Dasmati. Dasmati was the guy who inverted the whole thing. Dasmati got a job in sports talk radio. Good dude, by the way. Happy dude. Good dude. Good head of hair. That's why he was glossed what's-his-face from Friends.
Highway Robbery!
And just a good guy to be around. Like, I was happy to see him every single morning. And he came to work here and he made things better. Like, his skill level was not great, but guys grow into the job. But he made it better. He had a smile on his face. He was happy to be here. He seemed to know that he was lucky to have a job in sports talk radio. Yet the guy was here for like 3 weeks and then quit. But he must have quit for something awesome, right? No, he went to work for like the city or Parks and Rec. I don't even know what the hell he did. The courthouse. I don't know where he went. I just know that it was some local municipality like Monterey Park, Parks and Recs, or Alhambra City. I don't even know. I don't even care. Like the San Gabriel, like he's manning the San Gabriel vandalism hotline. Or he's out scrubbing graffiti down or something. I don't know what he's doing. I just know that everybody in that world where he went is trying to get here. Yet he left here to go there. And even better, where the worst day here should be better than his best day there, he doesn't seem to have ever looked back and seems very happy. So credit to him and credit to my guy Jake in New York City for that reset. Robert Dasmati, the only guy ever to quit the dream job for that.
Highway
Robert. And doesn't regret it at all, I don't think. Hey, Rome, I played college football against the Honey Badger. He once hit me with his best shot, and it was intense. They're in Iowa. The hell I'm playing that game. Notice I'm not laughing. The hell if I'm playing that game. Clones, don't you fire away. Don't you freaking come in here and mock, clown, or disrespect Pat Benatar. Because I'm sure as hell not having it. Not on my show and not on my bleeping watch. Pat rules, man. I've never seen her. I thought about it. I came close a couple of times. In the 818, there's this little club in Agora called the... I don't know. I got to look it up. You know it. If you're in the 818, you know it. I guarantee Clay Matthews knows it. He grew up right around there. There's this little club right outside of Calabasas where I grew up. Come on, Chalk, you should know. And they get a bunch of kind of throwback bands in there. Pat Benatar was there once, and I'm like, damn, how did I miss that? That was like the Robert Plant moment. I got to go see her before it's too late. I'm guessing she probably can't hit all those same notes that she hit back in the day. Back at the US Festival when she was killing it. Listen to the pipes on that gal, man. She was so good. So don't you come up in here talking junk and making fun of her. Although I do know, I read an interview once. She was so sick of that song. She hated that she had always played that song. Hey, Pat, that's how it goes with the hits, yo. Give them what they want. That's the problem. When you have a lot of hits and a lot of songs, you probably don't want to play that one song over and over and over again. You feel like those homeless guys in Tommy Two Tone, they got to play Jenny What's-Her-Face. You know they're playing that song out their ass. Those guys will play that song on a street corner and be happy to do it because they got one song. You're a one-hit wonder. Pat Benatar probably is sick and tired of hitting me with your best shot. Mike D for three. The camera work for that Dolphins video is great. Thanks. The Blair Witch Project. That, again, at the time was the biggest thing in the world. The camera work on that yesterday or earlier this week was not the biggest thing in the world. In fact, it was one of the worst ideas in the world. But it wasn't the camera work that was the problem. It was the choice of throw and choice of play that was the problem. And even to me, it's just one throw in practice. I don't want to, spoiler alert, I don't want to give away the whole take right now. It's just not that big of a deal. But anything that hits Twitter is going to be a really big deal. What's popping, Twitter? So we'll get into that. And finally, Kenneth E. Jimmy. Did I hear that SmackDown winners can call? I'll have to clear my schedule. Signed, Riverside's finest, Ronda Rousey.
Previous SmackDown winners can call on June 20th.
I've told you that story. She was one of my favorite athletes upon meeting the first time. I thought she was electric. She had so much charisma. She had so much it. And then she started ripping people's arms off. And then the legend grew and grew and grew. And then sadly, at least for her, Holly Holmes broke her face. And then it was never the same. And one more before I go to break. Romy, Greg Norman has to be the biggest D-bag in the history of mankind. Here's his direct quote regarding the Saudis and the death of Khashoggi. Quote, look, we've all made mistakes. And you just want to learn from those mistakes and how you can correct them going forward. End of quote. Mistakes. Death and dismemberment notwithstanding, right? Greg, please go away and take Sergio with you. Signed, Rick and Chico. Yet Norman makes Hefty look like an upstanding citizen and not at all greedy or venal. We all make mistakes? Yeah, I don't know, dude. Forgetting to charge your phone is a mistake. Murdering, killing, and dismembering are not mistakes. That is an all-time horrible take from an all-time horribly greedy person. Find me one person who agrees with that take not named Hefty. Or somebody equally as greedy as those two people. I mean, what a horrible take. We all make mistakes. And we just want to learn from those mistakes and correct them going forward. You mean stop murdering and dismembering people? Not only that, he had said something also along the lines of, you know what, they've all owned it already. Can we just move on? Not really, Greg, no. That's kind of the issue. You don't just kind of move on from murder and dismemberment. Good try, though, bro. And I thought my biggest issue was having to read all the tripod emails for this guy. Anyway, what do you say we take a short time out and come back? 1-800-636-8686. It is toll free. It is smack off season. Marquez Valdes-Scantling's coming up later on. I want to reset my conversation with Tracy McGrady, somebody else who I had not caught up with in a while, and it was great. That's coming up. But first, here.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I know I referenced this already, but I'm looking at a tweet from CNBC. More than 200 billion with a B. 200 billion erased from entire crypto market in a day as sell-off intensifies. 200 bill in a single day.
Oh.
Oh. 200 billion. I cannot get my head wrapped around that number. 200 bill. 303 Products has your number with a full line of premium protectants and cleaners. They've got everything you need to keep your car looking new for longer. For more information, visit 303radio.com. It is smack off season, so why don't we take a phone call or two? Let's go to Northern California, Scott. What's going on, Scott? How are you?
Hello, Jim. You know, I know I'm a bit late to the party, but after reflecting on that incredible race, it became quite clear to me there's a unique similarity to the smack-off at the Derby. 20 go into the gate, and 21 crosses the finish line first. I'm biting, I'm nipping, I'm biting and I'm nipping. Now, memo to Brad and Lef. I know both of you saw what happened on Saturday, and come June 24th, you'll both be feeling a bit of deja vu. Because an 80-1 gets an invite to the smack-off, I'm biting, I'm nipping, I'm biting, I'm nipping. Now, Jim, I've got some breaking news here. I recently came across Brad and Lef's rejected audition to America's Got Talent. And I know magicians never, and I mean ever, reveal their secrets. But let's face it, folks, we all saw that trick in Ace Ventura. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. I'm biting, I'm nipping, I'm biting, I'm nipping. Walt, I've got readable speed. And Walt, Jim going home after the judge released him and leaving his socks on. Good day to you, Jim.
Scott Norcal. All right, my man. You're biting and you're nipping and you're biting and you're nipping. And you're still on the watch list. You're not there yet, but I see what you did. What he's talking about is, I am the 80-1 shot. I'm the one coming from the 21 hole. I'm the one, as the BIC and Lef are in their match race and they're headed for the wire. I'm the one that came out of nowhere, got to the gate or got to the rail and blew right by the two blue bloods and then got ponied back, biting and nipping, biting and nipping. Meanwhile, the Triple Crown dream is dead. The Preakness will be without the Derby winner. That'll happen. That's a little disappointing, but not as surprising as it may seem. Rich Strike is not going to run in the Preakness. You got to understand about horses and the Triple Crown itself. It's such an enormous ask. I've shared this before, but really quickly. Normally, with the horses that we own, everything being equal, if they're sound and they're healthy and they're happy, we run them every 6 weeks or so. Every 4 weeks seems too soon to me, generally. Now, we've had a couple of horses that have run back on 21 days and run big, but you can't do it consistently. And if you do it, you feel like you got away with it. And you're not doing anything irresponsible. They just won't run their best. Like any other athlete, they've got to rest and recover. So normally, we like to run horses every 6 weeks. The Triple Crown is run like over a six-week period. So you've got not only three races, but three extremely demanding races against some of the best racehorses in the world at really long distances. It's an enormous ask. So it's disappointing not to have that storyline and not to have Rich Strike in the Preakness. But from a horse standpoint, it's not that surprising to me. The horse just ran his absolute eyeballs out. He's going to need a little bit of time. And the Belmont is the third leg is an extremely demanding race. It's long as hell. It's like a beach. The track itself is deep. It's like running on a beach. So I could see whereby they might say, you know what, let's take a little bit of time. Let's skip the Preakness, and then we'll take a shot in the Belmont. Belmont is a mile and a half. The Derby's a mile and a quarter. Daniel writes, cryptocurrency sounds like a safe investment. Signed, Jano, playing online roulette. No, the crypto market lost $200 billion in value. Jano lost $200 in value. Now, she did lose the $200 like in 10 minutes. But crypto lost $200 billion in one day. All right, next hour, I want to get into that viral video of Tua throwing to Tyreek, and Tyreek having to stop and wait and wait and wait and wait as that duck fluttered back to earth. Or at least that's what Twitter will have you believe. Stay tuned.